We read once again in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It reads to us once again, by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Each and every summer, I have many friends who decide that they are going to stay in the United States to take their vacations. In the past, many of them have gone to such exotic places as Bermuda, Aruba, maybe Jamaica and the Barbados. Some have decided that they were going to go and travel in Europe, go to London or Prague or some of the other major cities. But more and more people that I know of are deciding, maybe because of money or lack of money, that they're going to stay here on vacation in the United States. And there's a subset of those people that I know that every summer they decide that they're going to tour our national park system. Have any of you been to our national parks before? Some of them. Some of you may have been to all of them. Maybe you've had the opportunity to go to the Great Smoky Mountains out west, or maybe you've driven the Blue Ridge Parkway, or maybe you have been to the Grand Canyon, or maybe you've been to some others. But in one of our national parks, specifically at Yellowstone National Park up in Montana, there is a geyser named Old Faithful. Some of you may remember that name, Old Faithful. And for those of you who may not know what a geyser is, it tells us it is defined as a hot spring of water in which that water intermittently boils, sending a tall column of water and steam into the air. So this is something that comes from the ground. It's steam that's so hot it just bursts out from the ground and goes high up in the air, and that water is hot. And they say the reason why Old Faithful got its name, because when some explorers discovered it back in 1870, it erupted at regular intervals. And that is why it's named Old Faithful. So you could count on your watch back in those days when the day and time that was going to go off. And it was pretty consistent. Now, it's not as consistent, but on average it says that the time of its eruption is now on average every 65 minutes, lasting less than 2.5 minutes, and the hot scalding water can reach heights of 90 to 120 feet up in the air. Now, I want you to keep in mind that Old Faithful is not the only geyser in Yellowstone National Park. Now, if you've been to Yellowstone National Park, they will let you know there are about 500 geysers that are on that property. But somehow Old Faithful is the most famous. That is what thousands of people come to Yellowstone every year. They come just to see Old Faithful. Now, isn't that an example of faithfulness? That it's called Old Faithful because of its eruption period, intermittently, and people love to take. And so what people come to do, they sometimes try to time their visit that when Old Faithful will go off. Faithfulness, for many of us, is probably a product of being consistent. If you look at somebody who is faithful, you want somebody who exhibits faithfulness, not just sometime, or not just a few times, or not when you want to. You want people to exhibit faithfulness all the time. So how is it, as we're looking at this particular fruit of the Spirit called faithfulness, how can we engage in that faithfulness as we try to live our lives each and every day? Faithfulness, for us to understand it as a fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness does not come from us. Faithfulness is a promise of God. See, because we understand, brothers and sisters, that God is faithful. If you don't call God anything else, and we have many names for God, we'll call God the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sustainer. We'll call God a mighty God, a powerful God. We call God omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. All powerful, all knowing, and all present. We call God a lot of names, but if you don't call God nothing else, brothers and sisters, let me let you know that God is faithful. For even we understand, as Paul had written this in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it reads to us in this verse that, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful." And he was writing to these Christians who were urging them to be faithful, loving, and hopeful, and patient in the face of persecution. God is faithful. You see, God will do what God said God will do. And everybody's not like that, are they? We see all over within the text how God has always kept God's promises. God started out with a covenant saying that I will be your God and you will be my people. God had let the Israelites know that I'm going to lead you to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. It took them 40 years to get there, but they got there. God has promised them that I will always walk with you and never leave you. God has always promised us even a son who will come and be our Savior. If we look back on our lives and see what God has done, God is faithful. Now, we know that God didn't give us everything that we wanted. But thank God, God gave us what we needed. Because there is a difference between our needs and our wants. And sometimes we confuse our needs with our wants. But that's not what I'm supposed to be talking about today. I'm supposed to be talking about faithfulness. So let me go back to what I'm supposed to be talking about to you today. We've seen it all in our lives that God is faithful. And when everybody else has let you down, God still keeps God in of the bargain. But yet, although God is faithful, we know that we are not. And we try to be faithful. We want to be faithful. But we as human beings just can't keep up the faithfulness. And we fail on our promises. You see, God's promises are eternal, but our promises are fleeting. And let's face it. Our promises depends on the time and the circumstance of what's going on within our lives. We may have said that, well, I'll promise I'm going to do this. When it comes down to that, depending on the time and circumstance in our lives, we may or may not fulfill that promise that we had made some time ago. We fail on our promises not only personally, but we also fail on our promises throughout life. We find out that many people get married. My wife loves four weddings. Some of you may have seen four weddings on TLC. Even just myself the other day, I don't know why I was doing this. I was watching old tapes and videos of the Newlywed Game. I have always loved the Newlywed Game. I don't know why. I love Bob Eubanks. He came out and just his personality and all the couples. And they had showed on YouTube the other day, I was searching, looking at one of the inaugural ones back in 1966, and just to see the couples and how they react with each other. And starting to think, and if you're on YouTube, you see that there's the comment section. It always says, don't read the comments. But as you're sitting there reading the comment section, you will find out people are always asking the question, I wonder if these couples are still together today. Some of them have and some of them have not. And just recently, well, about nine or 10 years ago, on Good Morning America, Bob Eubanks had come back, and after 40 years, back in 1977, he had interviewed some couples, or he was on the show with these couples, and they actually came back for a 40-year reunion. And the show, they did a little mini game of the Newlywed Show. From all those years, these couples had been on, and sure enough, most of them, these particular couples, had still been married. But yet, we make promises before God that we will love this person and that we'll be faithful to the vows that we have said. But still here in America, the divorce rate is still 40 to 50%, and it's even higher for second marriages. We fail on our promises. We fail on our promises that we give to each other, especially in business. And one of the other things I like to do, and I don't know why I'm telling you all this, but I watch Judge Judy a lot. And if you look at Judge Judy, it's humorous and something, but it's sad the way that people come in and sue each other for nothing. mothers suing daughters and sons. And then that happens is some of these people come in, they actually have contracts to fulfill what they said that they're going to do with one another. And you will find out that Judge Judy will come in and he will ask the defendant, well, do you have a contract? And the defendant will say, well, no, I don't have a contract. It was a verbal contract. And you know, in law, verbal contracts don't do you anything. And sometimes you will ask either the defendant or the plaintiff, why don't you have the contract? Did you not know that you were coming to the courthouse if you want to prove your case? And some of the people who are coming to Judge Judy knew they were wrong in the first place. But the difference between a contract and a covenant, no, a contract is if one party breaks the contract, there are consequences for breaking it. We break contracts, but we also make promises verbal that we say to our friends. We say, oh man, you know I'm going to do this for you. You know I got your back. And when that time comes, we don't have the back. We're nowhere to be found. And don't lend your relatives money. That's a whole different story in itself. Because you never see that again. Oh, because, you know, I got your money. You still, we feel family. We friends. No, we're not. We say that to our church members. We break promises to our workmates. We make promises to those that we serve alongside in our fraternities and sororities or other social groups. We break promises even to our loved ones and our children. You see, we fail. We fail because we're human. We fail because although we try, we don't have the faith, the strong faith of God, who we try to follow within our lives. But again, God never fails on God's promises. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, the saying is sure. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Understand that our faith comes from God. And if we know that God will never break God's promises, isn't it clear to you that we should never break our promises as well? That we must be faithful to what we have said that we are going to do? God never fails. God has never failed me yet, and God will never fail any of us as we go forth into our lives. There's a story about a young girl who was on a large jetliner, and as this jetliner was taking passengers to their destination up in the skies, they were going through some terrible turbulence up there. The plane was going up and down, and it was shaking, and then the plane started to lose altitude. And everybody on that plane was hollering. People were praying. People were texting, saying, I don't know if I'm going to make it, or I don't know if I'm going to see you anymore. And people started screaming. They were trying to get help from the flight attendants. And they were wondering, will they ever see the next day? But everybody was hollering and screaming and panicking on that jet, except for this little girl. And this little girl sat directly behind the cockpit. And so we find out that as the plane had returned to normal, a lady had noticed that this young girl did not say a word through the turbulence and asked her, I'm impressed by your calmness. Everybody else on the plane was really upset. But you sat there as if everything was all right. Why were you so calm? And the little girl replied, I wasn't afraid because my daddy is flying the plane and he promised me that we would make it home safely. You see, brothers and sisters, although we may fail on our promises and although things may come to us that cause us to shake and lose our way and to forget our promises and forget our faithfulness to God, God is always there. God always makes a way, and God is also and always faithful to the promises that God has made. And yet, faithfulness, if we're talking about the fruit of faith or what comes out of faithfulness, see, brothers and sisters, our faithfulness strengthens the faith of others. You see, because going back to Paul went through some things. You see, Paul was beat down, was he not? Sometimes he was stoned. He had been jailed. He had been talked about, told to shut up, talked about him and everything else. You see, Paul went through some things, and in each of his missionary journeys, it was never easy for him because not only was he facing problems and facing persecution from those who didn't know him, the worst of it all, he was facing those from people inside the church, dealing with churches that had false prophets there, dealing with churches telling them that you are Jews and you have to go back as new Christians to some of the Jewish traditions and rituals. Finding out, brothers and sisters, that he was one who had been transformed in his life. But see, just because whether you've been transformed or whether you've been in church all your life, you're going to go through something. You're going to face some things. And some of these things are going to be hard. Some of the things are going to be life-threatening. Some of these things causes us to go into a depression. Some of these things gives us a not-so-good look of humanity and life itself. But as Paul went through these things, you know, Paul could have quit what he was doing. But Paul never quit telling people about Jesus. See, because even on his missionary journeys, he didn't stop. He didn't, no matter what he faced, he still told people about Jesus. He still had the faith in the midst of everything that he went through to keep on with the faith that he had adopted. There is this one missionary journey in Acts chapter 14 that he tells us that after they had proclaimed the good news to that city and made his way back to the disciples, to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, there they strengthened the souls of the disciples and encouraged them to continue in the faith, saying, "It is through many persecutions that we must enter the kingdom of God." Just because you believe in God, just because you get up and read your Bible every day, just because you say your prayers before you go to bed at night, just because you come to the church on Sunday or maybe any other day of the week, just because you smile in the face of those that you encounter, just because you cross all your T's and dot all your I's, doesn't mean that you're not going to go through something. Brothers and sisters, we may not go through the beating. We may not be going through the stoning. We may not go through the jailing. We may not go through being talked about. But I assure you this, no matter even if whether you did or whether you didn't, there are people out there who don't care about you. There are systems in which we live in that uses us as a pawn. There are people who will smile in front of your face and stab you in your back. There are people that are walking around, even here today in this world. You may have done something to them. You didn't even know what you've done. And they're mad at you. And look, and won't tell you what you've done. Isn't that crazy? It just goes to show that nobody is perfect. And most of all, just because we follow Jesus doesn't mean you're not going to go through something. You see, brothers and sisters, if you look back on your life, have you ever thought that no matter what you're going through, even the smile that you give, even your attendance here in this place, even as you try to lend somebody who don't have some money, did you know that people are looking at you? You see, people in the world today, they're looking at you to see if your words match your deeds. There are many people who call themselves Christians, but lack anything but. You see, as we have lived our lives, each and every one of us in this place, we could look back at those who have been through something, but still praise God. I've always, always looked at those who went through something and are still able to praise God at the end of the day. You see, it's never been easy for many of us here in this place today. See,
The examples of faith are all around us. If we look back at our parents and grandmama and granddaddy, as we look back to the elders, or maybe the deacons of your church, if you came from the Baptist church or some other denomination, if you look at what they've been through and how they still can come to church on Sunday and be the first ones praising God, doesn't that strengthen your own faith? As we try to live our lives, as we got away from our parents, and as we went through college and getting married and getting our first jobs, and we knew that somebody had been praying for you. And when you saw them again in church, I hadn't seen you in a while, but I want you to know that I've been praying for you. And we've known over the years, when we talked to our mothers and fathers, how is Sister such and such doing? Well, Sister such and such has cancer. Sister such and such has lost her husband. She has wayward children, but yet they still have kept their faith. They still have encouraged us, despite what they have been through. Through their example of faithfulness, served to strengthen us as we walked within our lives. There are people out there who still serve, are those who are examples of the faith that still strengthens us. And I'm going to go back here to Facebook. I like to give you about Facebook. I always love to give you a Facebook example. I was looking at, they have these videos on Facebook now. And it always shows up, if you're on Facebook, on the side of your profile as you open your homepage. And there's these videos that show up, and there's different things. There's Titletown, Texas, and it talks about all these football teams, high school football teams in Texas. But the one thing that I saw the other day, there is a series called My Last Days. Don't know if you have seen that before, and actually I understand it was a show on the channel, the CW. I don't know if it's still around or not. But anyway, make a long story short, they go around and interview these people who are sick, and they're spending their last days alive, and ask them, how did you get to this place? And these are first-person biography accounts, so you see their faces and what they're going through. And there was a young woman who was, I think, almost 30 years old, and she was about to get married, but she had inoperable brain cancer. And she knew that she was going to die. And she said, I don't focus anymore on dying, but I focus upon the life I have to live with the time I have left. There's another guy named Kendrick, an African-American, who's in church and wants to learn how to sing, but he has a terminal situation in his life. And it talks about how they live that out. And it gives these stories of people in their last year of life, young and old. And some of these people had faith. And it talks about how their faith is getting them through. Look, we complain about long gas lines. We complain about what's going on within the world. But yet, I do believe that maybe what these people are going through, if you've been in that situation, helps to strengthen us. Because there's an old saying, I complained I didn't have any shoes because I saw somebody who didn't have a foot. Brothers and sisters, there are many, many, many examples out there about how the faithfulness of other people have strengthened us within our lives. And don't you think if we are called to talk about the fruit of the Spirit of faithfulness, how do we exemplify that to everybody that we come in contact with? Do we let people know that God has done something for us? And do we tell them because God has done something for us that God will do something to you, do something for you too? Or do we look at their actions and say God is going to do something to you if you don't straighten up? Brothers and sisters, understand that faithfulness causes us, as people have strengthened us by their faith, what they've been going through, that we ought to tell somebody else that God is going to make everything all right. We need to let people know that no matter what you're going through, brother and sister, God still walks with you. We need to let them know that even though we're going through something ourselves, and sometimes we let people know that and sometimes we don't, that God is still on the throne. We need to let them know that no matter what they are going through the trials and tribulations of growing up or getting married or having a job or whatever the case may be, that there's still a God that loves them. Because this God that we serve has promised us that this God will always walk with us. And yet, faithfulness means that we are not alone. For yet, all we have to do is look at Hebrews chapter 11. And it gives you the roll call of faith. The saints who have gone on before. How Moses was faithful. How Abraham was faithful. How the prophets were faithful. How Daniel was faithful. Then it goes on to chapter 12. Where it says that Jesus is the example of our faith. You see, when we're down and out,
We don't think we would have any faith. We don't know what's going on because of the circumstance of our lives. We can look at those who have been through and how God has walked with them all the way through in their lives. And still, because of that, we can see that the fruit of faithfulness is still evident. That God is still working, even with all the things that are going on within the world right now. God is still working. So our example today is to be faithful. To practice your faithfulness. You know, faithfulness, like the others, is the fruit. You know how you eat fruit. You know you eat an apple, you get the fruit, right? You peel the orange, you get the fruit. And that fruit strengthens you. It strengthens your body, it strengthens your mind, it gives you a good taste, but it gives you energy to go out and to do something else. There's a story of a young man. He applied for a job as a farmhand. And when the farmer had asked the young man for his qualifications, the young man said, "I can sleep when the wind blows." Now, the farmer looked at him like he was crazy, like, what is this guy talking about? But he said, okay, well, I like this young guy. And although he just said this, had no other qualifications, I'll go ahead and hire him. So he hired the young man. And a few days later, after he hired him, the farmer and his wife one night was awakened by a violent storm. And so he and his wife quickly got up and they checked things out to see if the whole place was secure. They found that the shutters of the farmhouse had been securely fastened. A good supply of logs had been set next to the fireplace. The young man that they had hired slept soundly. So the farmer and his wife inspected the rest of the property. They had found that the farm tools had been placed in the storage shed, safe from all the elements. Even the animals were calm. Now imagine, the animals are calm during a violent storm. So all was well. And the farmer understood the meaning then of the young man's words. "I can sleep when the wind blows." Because the farmhand, the young man, did his work loyally and faithfully when the skies were clear. He was prepared for the storm when it broke. So when the wind blew, he was not afraid because he could sleep in peace. You see, it's not anything dramatic that the young man did. And even in our faith, there's nothing dramatic that we do. It's not like we go and bring a lot of people to Jesus Christ or we baptize people, whatever the case may be. But you know what? We just need to be faithful every day in what we do and what we say. That is the epitome of faithfulness in our lives. You see, brothers and sisters, we're called to exercise the fruit of the Spirit, which is faithfulness. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. If you're faithful to God, and if you're faithful to yourself and others, the others will want to come and see and know what is going on with you, even in the midst of everything else within your life, that you may glorify God this day and forevermore. Amen.